Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome back to Common Sense Radio, and today we're going to be talking XFL. As you know, or maybe you don't know, the XFL 3.0, so the third attempt of the XFL to launch a football league, had their first week of games this past Saturday and Sunday, and I actually enjoyed it. It was quite refreshing, and it's nice to have football going past the Super Bowl. I know some people might be burned out on football after the Super Bowl or after New Year's, but football fan, I enjoy it. I hope y'all give it a chance. It's football, and I know it's a little bit different type of football, especially on the kickoff returns, but they give it a chance. It looks to be entertaining again. I know they've fooled us a couple times over the years, back in 01 and then 20, but let's give it a chance. So we're going to go over the final scores from this past weekend. We'll go in a chronological order, meaning first game first, and so on and so forth. The first game this weekend was this past Saturday afternoon in Arlington, where the Arlington, now they're named the Arlington Renegades. They were the Dallas Renegades 3 years ago. They defeated the Vegas Vipers 22-20. Come from behind win for Arlington. The Renegades defense intercepted two Luis Perez passes and returned those for touchdowns. And those were actually the only touchdowns for Arlington that day, but they're both on defense, so they failed to score on offense, but they did win the game. Arlington, obviously, is 1-0. Vegas, 0-1. And we'll go over the division alignments after the final scores. The second game of the weekend, the Houston Roughnecks, led by NFL great Wade Phillips. They defeated the Orlando Guardians 33-12 at home. So Houston is 1-0, Orlando 0-1. And if you count 2020, Houston is still undefeated because they were 5-0 when the league shut down back in 2020. So the Houston Roughnecks have yet to lose a game. Then the third game of the weekend, which was probably the most exciting, was the St. Louis Battlehawks came away with a win, come from behind win over the San Antonio Brahmas 18-15. And this game, the come from behind win for St. Louis, illustrates, I suppose, the potential for a team in the XFL to come from behind when it all looks impossible. So what happened in this game was San Antonio held a 15-3 lead late in the fourth quarter, I think with about 4 minutes to go, maybe a little bit more than that. They had a 12-point lead. But what the Battlehawks did was, led by former Alabama Crimson Tide quarterback A.J. McCarron. McCarron drove the Battlehawks downfield, scored a touchdown, I believe, with about – say it was about 2 minutes left in the game. So the touchdown is 6 points. So they're down by 12. So let's do the math on this. So 15-3, they get a touchdown. They're now down by 15-9. And in the XFL, you have an option from three different locations. You can go for 1 point, 2 points, or 3 points. A one-point play is you have to run or pass it in from the two-yard line. A two-point play, same thing, but you got to pass it, do it from the five-yard line, runner pass. And then the three-point play is a runner pass from the 10-yard line. So St. Louis opted for the three-point play, which they converted. So they cut the score to 15-12. So you're thinking, okay, well, San Antonio gets the ball back. Well, not so fast. What happened was the XFL has an option, which I got to say I'm not in full agreement with, but here's their option. Instead of an onside kick, the losing team can convert a 4th and 15 play from, I believe, their own I want to say their own 20-yard line. Couldn't remember if it was 20 or 25, but they're deep in their own territory. If they convert the first down, they maintain possession. The USFL has this rule as well, and if you did not watch the USFL championship game last season, Birmingham held a two-possession lead late in the game, I believe a 10-point lead. The Philadelphia Stars came back and scored a touchdown to cut it to three, and they did attempt that 4th and 15 play to maintain possession, but failed on that conversion, which helped Birmingham wrap up the game. So the team that's behind certainly has a chance of coming from behind, even if they're two possessions down. So I guess a safe lead in the XFL is closer to the 3 points. And, oh, by the way, if you'd like to call in, our number here is, our guest call-in number is 563-999-3409. And if you'd like to call in and comment about in any of the XFL games this weekend. But back to the St. Louis-San Antonio game. This was a come-from-behind win by 12 points, and St. Louis, they converted the fourth down, and then they ended up scoring again with about, I would say about 20 seconds, roughly 20 seconds to go, on a touchdown pass from A.J. McCarron to Austin Prohl. And if you recognize that last name, Prohl is the son of Ricky Prohl. Ricky Prohl played in the NFL back in the 1990s and early 2000s for the Cardinals and the Rams. And I believe the Carolina Panthers as well. So St. Louis goes to 1-0. San Antonio drops to 0-1. And San Antonio was the only Texas team to lose this weekend. So had San Antonio won, it would have been the Texas teams would have been a perfect 3-for-3. All right, then the fourth and final game, it was another exciting finish. The DC Defenders defeated the Seattle Sea Dragons 22-18. This was another come-from-behind win, although not as dramatic. Seattle had a 12-point lead in this game. A 12-point lead until their quarterback, Ben DiNucci, the former Dallas Cowboy, threw an interception, and then D.C. returned it for a touchdown, cutting the score. And then D.C. later scored again on a touchdown run by former Miami Hurricane quarterback Derek King. DiNucci threw another interception, but Seattle was able to stop D.C. and then get the ball back. And the Sea Dragons were on the verge of winning this game or taking the lead at the end. But Ben DiNucci, or sometimes he's known as the Nooch. Hey, DiNucci. DiNucci fumbled at the one-yard line. They had the ball at the one. And it looks like he attempted some kind of option play, or at least there was an option play out in the flat. And he – I'm not sure what he did. I'm not sure if he was trying to throw it or tuck it or what. But he fumbled on the 1 or 2 yard line. D.C. recovered. And they ran the clock out. So D.C. goes to 1-0, and Seattle is 0-1. So the standings for the divisions, and this is the division alignment. The South, there's the South and the North. The South consists of the three Texas teams, so the Arlington Renegades, the Houston Roughnecks, and the San Antonio Brahmas. The fourth team is the Orlando Guardians. Then in the Northern Division, you have the Vegas Vipers, St. Louis Battlehawks, DC Defenders, and Seattle Sea Dragons. As we mentioned in the previous show, of the eight teams, five of these are returning from the 2020 lineup. And that is the Renegades, the Roughnecks, the Battlehawks, the Defenders, and the Dragons, or Sea Dragons. Arlington was the Dallas Renegades. They were previously the Dallas Renegades in 2020. Now they changed their name because they play in Arlington. And the Seattle Sea Dragons were the Seattle Dragons 3 years ago. So the three new teams, just to mention it again, are the San Antonio Brahmas, the Vegas Vipers, and the Orlando Guardians. Now, both the Vipers and the Guardians, actually, they retained their name, and they moved from New York, or they played in New Jersey back in 2020. The Vegas Vipers were in Orlando. Sorry, they were in Tampa Bay. They were the Tampa Bay Vipers, so they also retained their name. The Brahmas are a new team replacing the Los Angeles Wildcats from 3 years ago. All in all, not a bad weekend. Tonight kicks off the week two schedule as the St. Louis Battlehawks travel to the Northwest to play the Sea Dragons. That game will be on FX or ESPN Plus, and if you're listening to radio, it's also on satellite radio, Sirius XM Channel 81. And let's see, here's the rest of the schedule this weekend. Saturday evening, D.C. will be at Vegas. 6 o'clock Central, that'll be on FX and ESPN Plus. Vegas Vipers home stadium is Cashman Field, which is the AAA ballpark for the Las Vegas baseball team. Third game this weekend will be San Antonio at Orlando, 3 o'clock Central. That will be on ESPN and ESPN Plus. And then the week two schedule wraps up with the Battle of Texas, Arlington at Houston. I guess it's not the only battle for Texas now with the three teams, but one of the Battle of Texas matchups, at least, Arlington and Houston, Sunday, 6 o'clock Central. That will be on ESPN2. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to look a little bit into the XFL stats, see how some of the teams did. We'll be right back after this. All right, welcome back. We're doing a review of XFL Week 1, and we're going to get a little bit into – try to get into the stats here if we can find them. Now, these are individual totals to give you an idea of how well they did. And to be honest with you, it wasn't too bad considering for the most part of the game you have a running clock up until about the two-minute warning. So even on incomplete passes – the clock is running, which means you're going to have less plays, less yardage, and probably less scoring. But let's look at the Vipers quarterback, Luis Perez's numbers. He was 22 of 36, passed for 249 yards. Not bad. He threw for three touchdowns, but was intercepted twice. And as we mentioned, those two interceptions were interception returns for touchdowns. And he was sacked three times for 13 yards. The Vipers' leading rusher in the game, John Lovett, wasn't he on SNL years ago? Anyways, he had four carries for only 10 yards. And the leading receiver for the Vipers was a man named Jeff Badet. He had six receptions for 81 yards. And he had two touchdowns. Now, in terms of total plays, as we said, there's going to be less plays because of the running clock. Arlington had 59. Vegas had 54. Total yards, Arlington had 246. Vegas, 261. And in first downs, each team had 13. So let's look at what the Renegades' individual totals were. Their quarterback, Drew Plitt, was 19 of 25 for 172 yards, no touchdown passes, and one interception. He was sacked 3 times for 9 yards. Their leading rusher in the game, Devion Smith, had 15 carries for 42 yards, a little bit better than what Vegas' leading rusher did. Their leading receiver was tight end Sal Canella. He had 7 receptions for 70 yards, and Canella played last season in the USFL on the New Orleans Breakers. So he has experience in the spring leagues. All right, now let's go to the second game, see how they did statistically. That was Houston and Orlando. And this game was a little bit longer than the first game. So let's see. The leading passer for Orlando was Quentin Dormady, 12 of 18 for 142 yards. The starter was Paxton Lynch, who was pulled in the second half. He was 14 of 20, 125 yards, so they combined for 267 passing yards and each a touchdown, although Dormady threw 2 interceptions, Lynch threw 1. And if the name Lynch is familiar, he was the first-round draft pick of the Denver Broncos back in 2016. The leading rusher was Jermaine Martin, 9 rushes for 41 yards. Leading receiver was Andrew Camille, 3 receptions for 80 yards and a touchdown. Also note, another former Bronco, Cody Latimer, for Orlando, had 5 catches for 68 yards and a touchdown as well. So in terms of team stats, a few more plays in this game. Houston had 65 total plays, Orlando 61. Total yardage, Houston had 337, Orlando 303. First downs, about the same. Houston had 16, Orlando 13, and Orlando 13. So, so that was a little bit not as obviously close of a game. Now, Houston's quarterback, Brandon Silvers, 26 of 42, 272 yards. He had 2 touchdowns, but also 2 interceptions. Their leading rusher was Max Borgi, 8 carries for 42 yards and a touchdown. And leading receiver is Deontay Burnett, 8 receptions for 90 yards and a touchdown. Honorable mention also goes to receiver John Trey Kirkland, 5 catches for 142 yards and a touchdown as well. So you can kind of see what the averages are, at least for week one, in terms of the passing yards, first downs, total yardage. Houston managed to break the 60-play mark, as well as Orlando in that game. And both teams went over the 300-yard mark. So let's see. Then the third game, San Antonio and St. Louis. This game was a little bit not as prolific in terms of offense as Houston in Orlando. A.J. McCarron was 18 of 26, 190 yards, 2 touchdown passes. He was sacked 5 times for 23 yards. Leading rusher for St. Louis, Ryan Hill, 6 carries, 55 yards. Leading receiver was previously mentioned, Austin Prohl, 4 catches, 49 yards, and a touchdown. Honorable mention, Hakeem Butler, receiver, 3 catches, 32 yards, and a touchdown. Now, interesting to note that the St. Louis, through 3 quarters, only had, I believe, 61 total yards. In the fourth quarter alone, they put up 159 yards. And as we mentioned in the comeback, if a team is down by 2 possessions, very possible they can come back and win or make it closer or tie the game. because of the rules. Now, in terms of team stats here. Oh, can't find them. Okay, so we're going to go on to the Brahmas stats. Starting quarterback, Jack Cohen. Cohen, who's from Notre Dame grad, was 25 of 36, 207 yards, one touchdown, one interception. Their leading rusher was Kalen Ballage, former Miami Dolphin. He had 24 carries in the game for 84 yards. Okay, and then their leading receiver, Landon Akers, 7. We had the most receptions, but Jalen Tolliver had the most yardage at 49, and Fred Brown had San Antonio's only touchdown reception. And I don't see any team stats here. In the fourth game, Seattle's quarterback, Ben DiNucci, he was 35 of 54, so he threw 54 times in the game for a touchdown, and actually made a great play on a underhanded shovel pass near the end zone when he scored the first touchdown of the night, his only touchdown pass of the night, and then had two interceptions, was sacked twice. Steven Montez filled in on a few plays, 1 of 2 for 6 yards. Rushing, Brendan Knox, 11 carries on 31 yards, was the leading rusher for Seattle. And leading receiver in the game, Jacor Pearson, 12 receptions for 95 yards. And Josh Gordon, the former Cleveland Brown, caught a touchdown pass. He was the one that caught the touchdown from DiNucci. So those are the stats. We can't find any team stats on the Sunday games, but so we'll see tonight what happens with St. Louis and Seattle. Seattle and St. Louis actually met 3 years ago. I know it's same names, but completely different teams. St. Louis won that game 23-16 at home in St. Louis in the dome there. I believe it was week 4, and the en route to a 3-2 record until the shutdown. And just kind of reminiscing about the league from 3 years ago, which I was following. I am remembering now how the season was going beyond just the wins and losses. By the way, if you'd like to call in and discuss the XFL, our guest call-in number is 563-999-3409. If you want to talk XFL or have questions, week 2 opens tonight at St. Louis at Seattle on FX. I believe it's at 7 o'clock Central. Yeah, 7 o'clock Central, 8 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Mountain, and 5 o'clock Pacific. So from week 5, last go around in 2020, it was right around this time that the league shut down. It started a week earlier because it was a week after the Super Bowl, and the Super Bowl is now a week later. So I do recall week 4, the Dallas-Houston matchup where I think they called out the Texas showdown at the time, and Houston had won that. And that was on March 1st. March 8th was the final week, and the Tampa Bay Vipers the Los Angeles Wildcats defeated the Tampa Bay Vipers in that game, being a very high-scoring game at the time, at least for XFL. And that was. It was Los Angeles defeated Tampa Bay 41-34. Now let's go back to week 2. What happened in week 2 3 years ago? D.C. defeated the New York Guardians 27-0. Seattle defeated Tampa Bay 17-9. Dallas Renegades beat the LA Wildcats 25-18. Houston won 28-24 over St. Louis. What this has to do with this week, not much. Just reminiscing about the league from 3 years ago. It's seems like deja vu with the league starting up again. Hopefully they'll be able to finish the season. Once again, if you have any questions or comments about XFL, please call us. We have a few minutes here. Number is 563-999-3409. Also, USFL, the other spring league, will start April 16th this year, or they're scheduled to start then. There's been only one change in terms of the teams moving, or different franchises at least. The Tampa Bay Bandits, they've gone into a hiatus, and they've been replaced by the Memphis Showboats. Showboats were a USFL team back in 1984, 1985. They were an expansion team. And both the Houston Gamblers and Memphis Showboats will be playing their games in Memphis. So there's now four stadiums, instead of one last year when it was just at Birmingham. Well, Birmingham and the Birmingham will still be in Birmingham, and New Orleans will be playing there as well. And then Philadelphia and the Michigan Panthers will be playing at Detroit, and New Jersey and Pittsburgh will be playing in Canton, the stadium near the Pro Football Hall of Fame, also the site of the XFL championship from last season. I think that's all the time we have for right now. Today's show, once again, a reminder, tonight, 7 o'clock, if you get a chance, set your DVRs or tune in to FX or ESPN Plus, Sirius XM Channel 81. The St. Louis Battlehawks on the road against the Seattle Sea Dragons. St. Louis 1-0, Seattle 0-1. St. Louis's quarterback is A.J. McCarron. Seattle's is the former Dallas Cowboy, Ben DiNucci. And we'll see if Seattle can get a win, rebound from last week. Or we'll see if St. Louis continues their momentum from their come-from-behind win over over San Antonio last week. And that's all the time we have for today. Thank you so much. Enjoy week 2 of the XFL. Bye-bye.